Matthew chapter 7, last few verses now of the Sermon on the Mount. Next week will be in Daniel 1. It's Father's Day. Great message out of Daniel 1 for Father's Day. Excited about that. Verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was. When Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Father, as we take a few minutes now to get into your word, I pray that you would speak right into our lives. Father, it's you that know us. There is nothing hidden from your sight. Lord, you know our pain. You know our joys. You know our victories and our even secret defeats. And so, Lord, I pray that you and only you would speak right into our hearts right now. And that we would have the wisdom to hear what you have to say and then apply it to our life. We do pray for our Shadow Ridge campus this morning that's wrapping up right now. I pray that you would have poured your spirit out upon our brothers and sisters, Lord, our church family at the Shadow Ridge campus, that you would have spoken through Pastor Rob just in a powerful way today, that you would have done great and mighty things wherever our church family is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Build your life upon the rock. Build your life on the rock. There is not a more familiar exhortation from the scriptures, especially those of you that go way back in Christianity. Those of you that have been part of a church, not necessarily this church, but just churchianity in general. If you go back to when you were in Sunday school, and you go back to the flannel graphs, you've heard this message before. Don't found your life on the shifting sand, but little flannel graph man better found his life on the rock. Amen? In fact, you even know the song, don't you? You know this, yeah. On the run. I tried to get Pete to do it, but he wouldn't do it this morning. I don't know why. But the reality is we've heard the song, we know the lesson, and we agree with the principle. We agree with the principle. It is foolish to build a house on a faulty foundation. You agree with that. You understand that. And in fact, you know, just as an illustration, let's say one of you said to me, I just feel like moving to Texas, Pastor Jason. I heard you used to live there, and I just, it's getting too crazy out here in California for me. I want to live in Texas. And I say, great, great. You don't like perfect weather, 365 days a year? Okay, you want to move to Texas. And then I have a suggestion for you. There is this house out on Lake Whitney, just outside of Dallas. And from the front, y'all call Jason, out in the front, it looks beautiful, doesn't it? I mean, it looks beautiful. It's kind of a grainy picture. You can't see it, but that's a giant lake behind that house. And if I told you you could sell your small little dilapidated home here in Vista, and you could afford that home in cash and have money to spare moving to Texas, some of you'd say, well, the weather ain't that bad. Until I took you around to the back of the property. And once you got to the back of the property, well, then you would realize that no matter how cheap the home is, no matter what a great deal it was, that is not a home to buy. that you are not going to invest your money, you're not going to put your precious family in those bedrooms because, hello, not built on a firm foundation. That house is absolutely in trouble. Now, we know that practically when it comes to homes, when it comes to something we're investing in, putting our daughter, our son's bedroom in, we would never move in to a place like that. But do we realize spiritually it's even more important? That spiritually what we are founding our lives on, what we are founding our families' lives on, it's even more important that we have a firm spiritual foundation in our lives. For, as it said this week in the one-year Bible, if you're one that reads that, it said in Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You see, if we want a firm foundation for us, for our families, then the Lord better build that house. But the question is, should be on our minds, how? How? I know not to build that house falling off a cliff. I know that. But how spiritually do I build a firm foundation in my life? Well, Jesus tells us, friends. He tells us what to do. Look with me if you would. Chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus tells us here, there's a couple of things you and I need to do. If we're going to build our house spiritually on a firm foundation. A couple of things we should get into our hearts and our lives if we want a firm spiritual foundation for our families. And the first one is, if you're taking notes, if not, pray it in, think it through. We need to hear the word of God. Isn't that what Jesus says first? Blessed are those who hear these sayings of mine. We have to make a decision, and it's a conscious decision, to put ourselves in a place where we are hearing the word of God. Now you say, well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, let me say congratulations. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you already today have made the first step in deciding you want to be at a place and your family wants to be at a place where you're going to hear the word of God, which you know is going to happen in this room. One of the things I love about our church family is we teach the word of God, not just from the word of God. And there is a difference. There is a difference. We gather and we on Sunday mornings, we'll teach whole books of the Bible here. We'll teach whole sections of the Bible. That's what we're doing now. We're finishing up with the Sermon on the Mount that we began months ago in chapter 5, verse 1, where the Sermon on the Mount begins. And now we've done the whole thing, so you get the whole sermon in its context. What you don't hear a lot around here is Pastor Rob and I say, this morning we want to teach on courage. And what you get is how he and I have scoured the scriptures for every verse on courage that fits, by the way, what we want to say about courage. Now, those kind of studies, you are in the Bible. And there's nothing wrong morally with those type of studies. They can be good. We do them occasionally here. But if you ever leave this place, precious men and women, if God ever moves you, please, because I care about you, find a church where they are going to teach you the word of God. Not just out of the word of God, but they would teach you the word of God. It's what we do here on a Sunday morning. It's what we do here on Wednesday nights. We go chapter by chapter through the whole Bible. We started in Genesis 3 years ago, and we're about to wrap up the entire Old Testament, all of it, chapter by chapter. And it's not just in this room. You that have high school students, junior high students, we tell those youth pastors, hey, make youth group a place that's fun. It's why they're playing wall ball and all kinds of crazy things before service out there. That's awesome. I'm so glad they do. But you know what they're doing right now? Right now, Pastor Aaron or Pastor Alex is opening up the Word of God and they are teaching your high school, junior high kids the scriptures. It's what we do in children's ministry. Children's ministry is not glorified babysitting, so you're okay for an hour or a half, hour and a half in here. We want to make it fun. We want crafts and projects. But we want to lay a foundation with you in your precious kids' lives, because there is nothing like founding your life on this book. That's what we do as a church, but please hear me, church family. I hope you understand that to found my life on the Word, it's got to be more than once or twice a week. It's got to be more than for an hour and a half on a Sunday or a Wednesday night that I listen to the Scriptures. It's got to be more constant than that. You know why? You know why? Because the world's message is constant. The world has a constant message to you, whether it is in TV programs, even if you're just a news and sports kind of person. That's all I watch. But even in that, you know what I'm saying is true. The message, the values, the priorities of the world are constantly in your face. In the music in the world today. And again, you don't have to have it on your iPod. In the grocery stores, at the gym, wherever you're at, the message is there. Well, I don't listen to it. Okay, but your neighbors do. And they're influencing you. Friends, the influence of the world is constant, and that's why we need, I need, you need to constantly be influenced by the Word of God. It's why I am such a believer for you and me personally to read this book on our own, to not just rely on Pastor Jason or Pastor Rob giving us the Word on a Sunday morning, but you, precious men and women, to read this book for yourselves. So important. I know in my life personally, I've shared this with a lot of you before, but I bought a Bible for each of my kids. And in my quiet time in the morning, I'm just reading through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. But a couple of years ago, I started with my oldest kid's Bible where I'm marking little things for them. I'm being refreshed, but I'm underlining verses for them, writing little notes for them individually, little prayers for them. And when my daughter turned 12, I handed that book to her and said, here, a year and a half at least of just your dad praying for you, thinking about you, these verses for you every single morning. And now I'm working on my son's, who he'll get that Bible 1 year for today. Because it's his birthday today, by the way, if you see my curly head little son. Say happy birthday to him. He's 11 today. I want to give it to him to lay that foundation in his life. So in the morning, at night, I read through the one-year Bible. Why? Because my family's going to read through it the next morning. And I want to have that to talk to them about, not just what the latest episode of this or that is about, but the life-changing Word of God. Read it for yourself. Please understand me. Not in a legalistic way. No one's heard me say today that God's mad at you if you don't read your Bible. Did I say that today? Stop your emails. I didn't say that today. God loves you. He loves you if you read your Bible. He loves you if you never read your Bible again. It's not about earning God's love. It's not that God's frustrated with you. It's that you and I need the Word of God constantly before us. Didn't David say morning and evening? In fact, he said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he does what? Meditates day and night. Day and night. That man, David says, that man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and whatever he or she does will prosper. Then David says, ungodly, not so. They are like the chaff driven by the wind. Do you see the picture? One is a firm foundation. One is a life that's driven by the wind. And the difference is not your personality. The difference is not your educational level. The difference is your willingness to day and night make a decision to put yourself under the unchanging Word of God. That's the difference. That's the difference. Listen to it being taught. Read it for yourself. Oh, there's even more time, isn't there? Oh, we think our worlds are crazy, and our world is crazy. But all that time, drop the kids off here. Take them there. Wait out in the parking lot for who knows how long till those youth pastors are done. Oh, my. All this time we have. What do you do with that time? little talk radio, and I get freaked out about politics. Oh, the government's burning. Or maybe you say, not me. I'm a sports guy. Little mighty 1090, that's what I do. I get all riled up why the game is so important tonight. I do that too, to be honest. But can I encourage you? Something I'm learning? There's a way better way to spend your time. Most of us have these little things. These little phones that are smarter than us. Or some kind of form of that in our lives. Most of us do. Not all of us, but most of us do. Do you realize that this gives me the ability to be discipled by anyone I want on the planet? Let me rephrase that another way. You don't have to be stuck with Pastor Jason. Isn't that good news? You know, just because you go to church at Calvary Vista doesn't mean you're stuck with me. You can be discipled by Alistair Begg. You can be discipled by Greg Laurie, John Corson. It's called podcast. If you don't know how to do that, I will stick around as long as it takes after service to help you figure out how to do it. Except for George Bryson. I don't have time to teach him. But the rest of you, I will share with you how to do that. If you don't know, because for free, you can fill those times with the Word of God. In fact, speaking of John Corson, I was listening to one of his podcasts this week. And he was saying that at night, he's got one of these audio Bibles. And instead of the news or whoever's doing late night, whatever these days, he just puts on a couple chapters of Isaiah. And he says, I go out like a light. In fact, it's funny. He said, if I have real trouble, I just put my own preaching on and then I fall asleep right away. I tried that with myself. And I started to go to sleep. And then I woken up by someone yelling at me, listen. So apparently my preaching doesn't work to put you to sleep at night. So that's not what I'm promoting. But maybe, just the Word of God. I share with you because so often people will call up and they'll come in for counseling. I have such trouble sleeping and I have the weirdest nightmares. And certainly this isn't the case for everybody, but for some, what's the last thing you're meditating on before you go to bed? I just mention it because I think that one of the number one shows on Netflix is some zombie that eats children. I'm pretty sure. And I'm not condemning. You watch whatever you want to watch, precious. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. All I'm saying is this. Don't wonder why you're freaking out at night. just don't wonder if your last thought is you're tuning out is, if that's your last image, and you're, why am I having bad dreams? I don't know. Watch whatever you want. I'm not, no legalism here. But maybe, your last thought should be the Word of God. And as I listen to it, being taught, as I read it for myself, there is no other way to build a firm foundation in your life. How do we build a firm foundation? Number one, Jesus says, we have to make a decision, and it is a conscious decision, to put our ears, our brains, in a place where they can hear the Word of God. But secondly, we can't just stop there. Secondly, Jesus says, and does them. Secondly, we've got to practice the principles of God. We've got to practice what we're reading about, putting it into our hearts and lives. And I know for some of you, that's where you get discouraged. Oh no, it's not just reading the Bible. Now I've got to actually do it. What chance do I have? I'm in big trouble. Listen, don't be discouraged by the fact that you're a sinner and a failure. Because we all are in the room. Amen? It's not as passionate, amen, when I say stuff like that. It's just like, yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's true. We are all dirty, rotten sinners in this room. But don't let the fact that you are, and so am I, discourage you from what Jesus is saying. For I love the way the NIV puts this verse, because I think it gets to the heart of the original Greek text. NIV says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Now, you might say, I don't get it. I don't see the difference. Well, here's the difference. Sometimes when I hear the New King James say, hear it and do it, I think, I don't do it. Not always. I don't always get it done. So I guess I'm just not cut out for this. No, precious men and women. The intent of the Greek text is you hear it and then you put it into practice. And by use of the word practice, friends, if we have to practice something, just the word means we don't have it all down yet. I shared with the Saturday night and Shadow Ridge group that I had the privilege of preaching to last weekend that when I was younger and was playing competitive golf, what I would do is I'd play around and I would notice what was costing me strokes. If you're not a golfer, that means things that I'm bad at. And I would make a note of that. This needs to improve. That needs to improve. And in the next week, those are the things I would practice. Those are the things I would work on. And that way, trying to eliminate weaknesses, I became very good with that system. And I've tried to carry that into my Christianity as well, where I realize God's holy. God wants me to be holy. Do you realize that? God wants you to be holy. But do you realize we're not quite there yet? I'm not. I realize there's things that I need to have God work on me in my life. And when I realize that, there's one of two ways you can go. You can get discouraged. You can say, well, I guess I'm just not cut out for this. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to be overwhelmed and burdened by all these things that God puts on you and expects of you. I get so encouraged by the scriptures. Do you remember in Matthew 22? When a lawyer, not a lawyer like our day lawyer, but a lawyer meaning an expert in the law of God, comes to Jesus. And he asks Jesus the question, what's the greatest commandment? There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament, not just 10. There's 10 big ones. But there's 613 commandments in Genesis to Malachi. That's a lot of commandments. And so he says to Jesus, what's the most important? And I know most of you have been around Christianity for a while, so you already know the answer. But would you remember what it was like to be new in the faith and realize what a crazy answer Jesus gives? Because if you were expecting him to give an answer, what would you expect? The most important thing is, well, it's got to be one of the Ten Commandments, right? Don't you dare covet. Most important thing, don't you dare lie. Don't you dare steal. Or normally it's whatever we struggle with, right? That's what we think is most important to the Lord. Whatever my personal struggle is, I'm like, I know that's most important to him and I've failed him. Jesus didn't say any of those things. Not that they're not good, not that they're not beneficial. Jesus looked right at that lawyer and said that you would love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That blows me away. That God would say to you, Andy, I just want you to love me. I just want you to love me. Well, all this other stuff, that's all important. But would you just work on loving me? Would you just work on making me your passion? You see, truly his burden is light. Truly his yoke is easy. Truly it is. And when I realize to not get discouraged, that God, all these rules that I'm failing, but just say, Lord, you want me to love me. And I realize that as you love me, you want me to keep your commandments. That's what 1 John says. If you love me, keep my commandments. I heard that 1 John, but John 14, that's what it says. But how am I ever going to get there? That as I realize he loves me, I'd say, Lord, I realize I fail you in this area. And so I want that to be a focus of prayer and discipline, asking by the power of the Holy Spirit you would correct that area of my life. And I've seen God work that into me. I'm not sinless, but praise the Lord, I sin less than I used to. I'm not just like Jesus, no way, but I'm a lot more like him than when I started this process. And that's what God wants for every single one of his friends. To put ourselves in a place where we are hearing the word of God, but not just letting it go in one ear and out the other. We're taking these principles, and by his grace, by his spirit, knowing he loves us, knowing he's not discouraged with us, putting these principles into practice. Now, why? Jesus is the master teacher, and he always tells you why. He doesn't just say, do it, do it. He says, why? Look at verse 25. He'll share with you why. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Why is what we're talking about today one of the most important principles in all of the Sermon on the Mount? Why? Because storms are coming, friends. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this life stinks at times. There is sickness, there is pain, there is death, there is heartache, there just is. And I know how the enemy loves to even use that to discredit the Lord, doesn't he? Yeah, well, why? Why, if he's a God of love, does anything bad ever happen to me? Why do loved ones die? Why does my heart get broken? Why? Because when God created this world, he created it sinless and perfect. Yet he gave to our parents, Adam and Eve, the right to either choose him or deny him. And they denied him and brought sin and pain and death into this world. And before you get too rough on them, you've made the same decision multiple times in your own life. You've brought pain into your life. Not everything you experience is your fault, but we live in a world that because of sin has pain and death. But then to go blame God for that. God, why is there sin and pain? I don't know, because you guys are disobedient. That's why. I wanted you to enjoy me, eat fruit in a garden, and name animals. Well, I don't know what you're doing. But listen, even though that is how the world is today, and there is sin and pain and death, our Father in heaven says, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to walk you through the effects of man's sin. And here's how you do it. You found your life on a firm foundation. That's how you do it. That is how you get there. You found your life on the firm foundation of God's word. Storms are coming for you. And I know we don't like to think about it. I know we don't want to hear it on a Sunday morning. But here's the truth. Storms are coming for your kids too. And I ask this not to bring conviction or condemnation, but maybe some conviction just to get us all on the same right track. Are you preparing them to face the storms in their lives? Are you preparing them to face the difficult days that as much as we don't want to think about it because we love our kids and our grandkids, they're going to face? You know, I was teaching this first service. This like vision came to my heart. That some of you are on a stormy sea. And the waves are just overwhelming you. And some of you know that if you're on a stormy sea, if you don't know what you're doing as a captain, you're in big trouble. Because if you point the boat the wrong direction, if you don't go into the waves at just the right angle, the waves will overtake you and you will be sunk. But if you're with a captain that knows what he or she is doing, then they will position that boat at the right angle. They will know how to go into the high surf, and you can survive almost any storm as long as the captain knows what he's doing. And yet many of you, some of you, you're in a storm and you're lost and you don't know what you're doing. But praise God, you have a captain who knows the right way. Who knows how to take that vessel of your life and turn it just slightly in the right direction so you can hold fast to him in the storms that you are facing. Please, because I love you, don't be so foolish to think that you can handle life on your own. You can't. It's why God has given us this book, his words, his principles. Some of us think we've got it down, and if we'll just let the captain turn us slightly, we will be able to take what is ahead of us. And if not, sadly, we are going to be sunk. You see, precious men and women, it's not just a matter of choice. It's not just a different life direction that you may take. Jesus is really clear that if you are not building a firm foundation for you personally, for your family corporately, it's not just not all right. He calls it foolish. In fact, the Greek word he uses is moro, from where we get our English word moron. So can I be honest as a Bible teacher with you this morning? Jesus says, if you let this go in one ear and out the other, you are being a moron. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, before we go, that seems really mean. Jesus would never talk that way to me. Yeah, he would. And you know why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. It's not because he's cruel. It's because he loves you too much to be silent. You know, back to our Lake Whitney house, this is how it ended up. Yeah. Half the house fell into the lake. Then the gas mains ruptured and the thing burst into flames. Bummer. Jesus doesn't want this to happen to your life. He doesn't want you to fall. He doesn't want your family to be devastated. He doesn't want everything that he wants to do in you go up in flames. And so he tells you the truth. You found your life on me. You found your life on the principles of this word. And if you don't, you're being a moron. Because this is where your family is headed. He's just being honest. And precious church family, the difference is subtle. It's subtle. In Jesus' illustration, both houses look the same. Same efforts being put into them. The structure looks the same. The difference isn't in the molding. It's not in the roof. It's not in the type of carpet or the color of the paint. The difference is way more subtle than that. It is just what is underneath. And the house that stands, the difference is they say, this will be what I dictate my life upon. This. Those that don't, the subtle difference is this. I'm going to found my life and my family on what I think is right. What I think is the best way to do things. And this is such a danger in our modern society. It is. Because the world's message is constant, right? And one of the world's constant messages, this book, oh my, dry, archaic. Yeah, kind of good if you lived in first century Israel, I guess. But we live in 2015 in America. Come on, you can't take everything that it says in this book as a foundation. And so they write books and do articles and blog. And we want to be the best parents we can be. We want to be the best husband and wife that God wants us to. We want that. And so we read these things and the subtlety gets in that says, well, I know the Bible says this, but I'm going to do this with my own life. I know the Bible says this about my marriage, but that was 2,000 years ago. This is what modern couples do. Oh, I know the Bible says this about parenting, but they didn't understand about how my child works in the, you know, year 2015. So this is what I'm going to do. And the Lord would say to you, warning, precious men and women, warning. This book is not a blog. It's not shifting sand. It is the unchanging, unalterable word of God that has stood the test of time for generations. It is a book that God says, God, not Jason, God says, I value this even above my name. And his name is pretty important. There's nothing like this, friends. And I know this isn't the popular message today. I know this isn't what all the, you know, whoever they are, experts in whatever field would say. But God's word works. It just plain works. In fact, last thing today. If you look at the last two verses, the two not in red, when Jesus is done preaching, the scribes and authorities, they look and they say, the people actually, they say, we've never heard teaching like this, never. They're amazed by his teaching. And then they say, why? Because he teaches as one having authority. The word they chose there is very interesting. For the word authority there in its original meaning, its original context, means his word has competency. It works. You see, as Jesus preached, there was something in the common man's heart that said, that's true. Oh, I've heard studies from rabbis and Pharisees before, but that, what he is saying, is true. And more than just on that day when they knew in their hearts it was true, when they went home and lived it out, what they realized is it works. And I've seen this book change my life from someone who didn't know the Lord, who didn't have principles founded upon the Word, to the man I am today with the family that I love. It's not because my winsome personality. It's the Word of God that changes families, that changes marriages, that changes hearts, that changes lives. That's why everything we do here is founded on it. Men's ministry, women's ministry, even our motorcycle ministry is founded upon the Word of God. Right, Dave? That's right. I mean, if there was one ministry where they could just say, we just ride for Jesus, that would be them. But even they are founded on the Word of God, because you know what? There's nothing like this book. Nothing like this book. Don't ever forget it, precious men and women. Let it shape your life. Let it shape your marriage. Let it shape your parenting. Let it drive who you are and the decisions you make. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, and my heart, Lord, is just reminded last night sitting on the train coming back from a ball game. All these 20-somethings just set on their lives being the best path. Drinking, sex, career building. And I think your heart just broke because mine did inside. That how that path, Lord, that path will lead to pain and hurt and not the joy and peace that they're looking for in their lives. But I fear, Lord, that some of us in the room, Lord, we think similar things. Some of us have been walking with you for a long time. But even those of us that have been walking with you for a long time, there's that tendency to get off just a little bit, start doing things our own way. And we know that your word is right. We know your word is true, for you have proven it to us over and over again. But I pray today that if we're in that place, today would be a reminder. And you would point our eyes back to you and back to the priorities and the principles that you, Lord, want us to have. Lord, I know there are some in the room who are new to this Christianity thing, and there's an excitement and a freshness, but there's also just the tendency of where they are with you to kind of be double-minded at times and to have the values of their old life and their old system. And I just pray that you would speak into their hearts today because you love them, because you care about them, that wise is the man and wise is the woman that puts themselves in a place where they can hear the word and then doesn't just hear it, but puts those principles into practice in their life by your spirit, by your grace. Lord, and then I'd even venture to guess there might be some here today who are going a completely different direction. And I bet if they're honest with themselves, they feel tossed to and fro by this world. They feel tired and abused. And Lord, you brought them here today because you love them. And you wanted to show them a better way, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. that it's you that loves them more than any human ever will. So much so that you took their place on a cross. You died for their sins against you. And it's time for them to commit their life to you, to decide today is the day that I repent of who I was and start following the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. However you need to respond to the Lord today, let's do it. Let's do it. If you want to stand as we worship, you stand. If you want to come up front and have just a couple of minutes with the Lord before we go our way, this is what this time is for. That's why we put padding underneath the carpet up front and got rid of all your nice carpet and the rest of the sanctuary. You want to come up and spend some time, do it. If you need prayer, like you've been walking with the Lord, but you feel like your life is just a little off, there's these men and women up front that I know each of them, and they're amazing guys and amazing gals. And they, you don't have to confession. You just come up and just tell them I need prayer, and maybe if you want to, what for? And they'll pray for you, and they'll pray over your life. But can I encourage you, especially today, if you're just not walking with the Lord, friend, today is the day for your salvation. I will never forget when I walked down an aisle, went up for prayer, and said, I need Christ in my life. And maybe for you, that day is today. They would love to pray with you. They'd love to pray for you. So however you need to respond to what we just heard, stand in worship, sit in worship, come up front and worship, get some prayer for just a slight course correction, or it's time to go 180 degrees in a different direction. Whatever it is, let's take time right now for just a few minutes. And let's respond to Jesus Christ. Let's respond to his word together. Let's worship our King.